Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yo, what's going on, Winning Shot family, man? We are back with another episode, man. It's your boy, Colin. I'm back with Hundo, and we're here to talk about NBA content. Listen, if y'all have been watching the playoffs, it has been something that has been crazy. Anybody who betted on this conference finals, you probably won a lot of money thus far. But we got the Pacers and Knicks in the Eastern Conference, and we got the Thunder and Timberwolves in the Western Conference. Right now, we're at 3-1 or 3-1 in the Western Conference with the Thunder leading and 2-1 with the Pacers leading. But I want to start with the Eastern Conference, Hundo. Like, we talk about, you know, the Pacers have been on this surprising run ever since the first round, beating the Cavaliers and even beating the Bucks in the first round. And it seemed like this was going to be a blowout where in game three that they were going to sweep their way into the finals. But the Knicks came clawing back. And it seems like every time that somebody goes up in this series, like, the game is never over. Even with game one, the Knicks were up and the Pacers just kept clawing back. And then we know the choke job that the Knicks did in the fourth quarter. But even in this game three, and the Pacers were up and the Knicks, you know, didn't give up. And so they came back from 20, led by Cat with, I believe, 24 in the fourth quarter. So talk to me about this series, man. How have you been feeling as a Knicks fan? And let's talk about the Pacers.
Knew it was going to be tight. Knew it was going to be tough. Wasn't going to be easy. Definitely didn't expect that to happen in game one, but it did. Learn from it. Keep pushing. But yeah, man, I think it's still 1-7. Knicks got to tie it up tonight. Get it back to 2-2. Go back home. Take care of business. Just keep finding ways, man. Keep finding ways. Like we talked about before, I think U.S. said it, Pacers got a whole bunch of B-plus type talent on that roster. Like, and you've seen it throughout this series. Again, like, Nesmith went crazy in the fourth quarter in game one. So, yeah. He hit some big shots. Knicks got to do a better job defending the three-point line. I heard one of the analysts talking about it last week about how the Pacers aren't going to necessarily miss these open shots that Boston was getting. And they are not missing. When given the opportunity. So hopefully they can clean it up on the defensive end. And offensively, share the ball, man. Share the ball.
Yeah. I think, like, what you said is, you know, kind of spot on, because, you know, these were the shots that we were supposed to be winning, I mean, knocking down as a Celtics fan, you know. But we were spotty and shooting, and so the Pacers actually knocking those shots down. And shout out to, you know, Pascal Siakam, who a couple nights ago got 39 points.
Right. And,
yeah, but a majority of his 39, and I know we were texting during the game, and I said, like, majority of his points is coming just running the floor. Like, you know, when you have that double big lineup with Mitch and Cat, you know, sometimes what hurts y'all is being able to score, like, for it to defend and transition, because as soon as Miles gets the rebound, Pascal's already down the court, you know, scoring on somebody that either is a wide open bucket or scoring on, you know, opponent like Deuce McBride or Jalen Brunson, and it's already a mismatch, which either causes them to foul or they're getting a basically open shot. And, you know, I was curious to know how the pace of play was going to affect the Knicks having to go through series like the Pistons and going through us. And it seems not to be affecting y'all too much. It seems like y'all are able to keep up. But low-key, I think the problem is, it's from this past game, it's kind of affecting the Pacers. And what I mean is, like, when Tyrese went out, I think it was like third quarter, the end of the third quarter going into the fourth, you know, they were relying on TJ McConnell to run a lot of the offense. And I think the problem is, because they score a lot in transition, they can't really score in the half court. And I think when you can slow the Pacers down, then they kind of get exposed. But, you know, you brought up a point a couple of podcast episodes ago, and you talked about how the Knicks are looking a lot better when Brunson is off the court. And I think the best example of that was in this past game. Jalen Brunson gets in foul trouble. They take him out. And it seems like the team is able to flow more as an offense. And it seemed like Cat was able to emerge more as a star when Brunson was off the court. So talk to me about that and what your thoughts were.
I told you. I tried to tell y'all.
You did.
I've been saying it all season, bro. Got to swing the ball. You got to let people that help you, essentially.
Yeah.
Mikal, OG, Cat, let them help you. I think that the way that Brunson plays with his dribbling and, you know, contested shots, it looks good when it goes in. When he misses, it doesn't look too good. When he throws it at the end of the shot clock to somebody else to try to make something happen, doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Out on the court, offense is flowing. We're moving the ball around, getting good looks. Let's run some plays for some other people, coach.
How did you feel about Thibodeau changing up his lineup and putting in DeLon Wright and Shamet? I feel like Shamet gave some solid minutes.
Yeah. I mean, you got in a series like this, you got to try stuff. You got to try stuff. You saw that the Pacers went to the bench and put in Ben Shepherd. He's been giving them pretty good minutes.
Yeah.
So you got, especially, like I said, if it's going seven, use them legs that you got on the bench.
Yeah.
Because your starters can't go 40 minutes a game and a complete series, and you think it's going to work out good.
Yeah. So I guess you said that it's going seven. What are the keys to turn around the series for the Knicks to win?
I think getting good looks on offense and defending the three-point line. I think it's only so much we can do as far as getting back in transition. Especially if we got the two bigs out there, we can't get in foul trouble. That's another thing too. Like, if any of our stars go out, low key in trouble. Like I told you before, Deuce don't see a shot he don't like. He can't be out there for too long, cause he's putting it up, no hesitation.
That's true. I mean, the thing is, though, and like I told you before, I can't unsee that game four, game five, that whatever game that was, Cat had versus Detroit. And I knew it was coming, and it didn't come until, you know, Saturday or Sunday, whenever the game three was. And, you know, my question really is to Tibbs' lineup and his rotation, because it seems like that was a different player when Brunson was off the court. And so I'm like, man, I know, you know, Cat is a starter. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, with that second unit, do you put Cat in a situation where he can be that free without Brunson on the court and kind of stagger the minutes? Like, I just don't know why he doesn't look that way when, you know, Brunson's on the court. And I know a part of it is because, you know, Brunson holds the ball a lot. But I think in terms of generating offense, and with Cat's production, like, Cat is still, you know, a 24-12 guy. Like, he can still get put up buckets. I just don't know, how can we get that Cat to be consistent throughout the rest of the playoffs? That's my thing.
As far as him being consistent, it's a lot on Jalen Brunson. In my opinion.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay. Talk to me.
Like I said, like he just dribbles the air out the ball, bro. If he can swing the ball a little bit quicker, you know, let's not get too deep in the shot clock. Cat, let's not start launching no threes from 36 feet. Let's get a little bit closer. Let's take some good shots. But I do think that's a good point that you make with staggering the minutes. The only thing is, who are you putting in?
Yeah, that's also true.
Are you playing Mitchell Robinson?
I was about to say, do you dust off Precious Achiuwa's jersey?
I don't know.
Because what you're saying is, like, Jalen Brunson is going to just dribble the air out the ball, but he's still going to score. So it's like, if I can get a body out there, but if I can get a body out there to buy minutes for when I put Cat in there, then I can have a better strategy. But you don't have any bigs outside of mentioned Cat. So
yeah, what are we doing? That's a problem. We don't have depth down low. Like, yeah, Precious can give you a few minutes, but it's like, okay, what Precious are we going to get? Because Precious can contribute, but it's just like, is he going to contribute or is he going to be sorry?
Yeah. Yeah.
If anything, use him for his fouls.
That too. In defense, I guess. I don't know. He's never been known as like a stalwart defensively, but I guess he can be a body for you.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So I guess, like, let's flip the script and let's talk about the Pacers. So, you know, the Pacers look dominant, you know, this past game, right? It's been in some tough contests in the first two games, but I thought, you know, everything was gone. I thought it was over after game three. But like I said before, you know, the Knicks came clawing back. Is there anything with how the Pacers playing and this past game that worries you about the Pacers' ability to advance to the finals?
I don't know, man. Like we talked about, just a whole bunch of B-plus type dudes. It's just like you said, Siakam running the floor. And then you got a three-point shooting. Halliburton is just a magician out there, bro. Like, his ability to facilitate and his ability to score when needed. Like, they've been hitting some big shots. Shout out to Nesmith going down, though. Hopefully his ankle is still hurting. Stay on the bench. We appreciate it.
Nah, man. I think that is the thing that concerns me, because when I look at the Pacers roster, there's nobody besides Tyrese that you can say, hey, I need a bucket. Go give me a bucket. Like, you got a lot of guys who can score, who can get hot based on the offense that's generated from Tyrese. But even Miles, like, Miles is an interesting player because, you know, Miles can, you know, score and he can defend. But if I hand the ball to Miles and say one-on-one, go get me a bucket, I don't know if he can do that. And I think the problem with the Pacers really is, like, man, with, like you said, they have a bunch of B and B plus guys. But, you know, like we said a couple podcast episodes ago, is like, when I need that person to become an A, who can do it? And who's that going to be? I think it could be Nemhard with time and with his own team. But I just think everybody is kind of deferring to Tyrese, that when it's time for them to score and generate offense without him on the court, I don't think anybody can actually step up and do that. And that's what really concerns me.
Yeah, I think Siakam could be that player.
Yeah.
But, like, once again, it's just like, same thing with Precious. Like, what Siakam are we going to get?
Yeah.
That's the only thing about Pascal. Like, he has the ability to do it. And like we talked about, the Knicks don't have depth down low. So it's like, if you get somebody in foul trouble, it can look scary for the Knicks, especially down low.
Yeah. And I think the other scary thing too is, like, Pascal had 39 the other day and the Knicks were still in it. So it's like, okay, what is that? Is that 39 a meaningful 39? Am I just getting it off of trash buckets and running the floor? It's like, can I live with 39, and can we just get more production on our offense? We can still win this game. That's what's concerning to me.
Yeah. And I think for the Knicks, like I said, like, they have to find a way to get stops. If they find a way to get stops, they can easily, like game one, be up 17, 20 points, but they got to find a way to get stops.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like the Pacers fumbled the bag, you know, with this game three, because ideally you don't want to go back to Madison Square Garden, because the problem is, if it's 2-2 and you're going back to Madison Square Garden, it can easily be 7. But even 3-1, it's like...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Okay, we get a game in New York, we know we can win on the road. We've proven that before. And I feel like, man, it was one of those moments where it's just like, okay, you got them down. Like, go ahead and end it. Yeah. Like, don't come back to New York. But it worries me now because it's like, okay, now I think it's a must win more for the Pacers tonight than the Knicks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as a Knicks fan, I'm going to say the Knicks need to win. But yeah. You never want to go down 3-1 in that situation. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really sick that that game one happened, bro. I'm really sick that we blew that, bro. We shouldn't have blew that, bro. We was up 17 with like 4 minutes left, bro.
Yeah. But I think that's the problem with the pace of play. It's like, y'all, I feel like with Indiana, they have so much depth in terms of B-plus, B-minus guys that they can bring people in and on fire. And it's like, you can't look up and you can't stop, because the minute you stop, they're going to still be going at the same pace, and you look up and it's going to be tied. So I just think they got
a feature on NCAA football called True Clock. I would have implemented that if I was the Knicks. I would have bled that shot clock, bro. We wouldn't have been shooting till 3 seconds on the shot clock every possession. Once I saw they started scoring and we couldn't stop them, we ought to slow this game down.
And I mean, the thing is too, like, when you go back to game one, like, nobody expected Nesmith to make those shots. Like, he made like six in a row. And I'm like, you take that out. Like, y'all still were playing well. Like, I don't necessarily know if it was much of a choke versus like a spectacular performance from a B-plus player. And I think if you put that game, if you had that same scenario again, I don't know if Nesmith is having that same production. So
we choked. OG missed the free throw.
Oh,
shout
yeah,
out to the refs too, missing the goaltending call. We ain't forget. Yeah. Bogus.
So you said he's going seven, Knicks and seven?
Yeah. I still think it's going seven.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Pacers and six. I think Pacers win tonight. All right, yeah, so
they're not winning tonight, bro. Sorry.
All right, we're gonna see. I think it's gonna be close, but I still got the Pacers win tonight. All right, so let's go to the Western Conference. So everybody, I guess, expected the Thunder to beat the Grizzlies, right? In game seven with the Thunder and Nuggets. I personally had the Nuggets winning. I think you did too. And on the other side, like, Minnesota, surprised us all, really, you know, beating the Lakers. I think the Timberwolves at the time had a better roster. And with the Warriors series, when Curry went down, people kind of assumed Timberwolves were going to walk into the Western Conference Finals. But, you know, after the momentum that the Timberwolves had with the Warriors series, I thought that this was going to be a more interesting series in terms of, you know, the matching roster and roster. I thought that the Timberwolves would have enough role players to make plays in order to get to the finals. But the Timberwolves are down 3-1. And a lot of this is because of lack of production from AE. But on the other side, we got Jalen Williams, you got Chet and SGA who have been hooping. And the boys seems like they have saved all this energy up, all this scoring up until the Western Conference Finals to show out. So talk to me about how you've been feeling about this Thunder's Timberwolves series. And we'll start with the Thunder and then go back to the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was going to be more competitive of a series.
Yeah.
But looking at it defensively, the Timberwolves don't have an answer for OKC.
Yeah.
When you look at the double big lineups, I definitely thought that, you know, Gobert and Naz Reid had the advantage there, but they don't. From an offensive rebounding perspective, Hardenstein and Chet are just more dominant on the glass. Defensively, the Timberwolves have switched to a zone periodically. That hasn't worked. They've tried to play man. That hasn't worked. It just seems like the Thunder just know how to exploit matchups. They come over, they set a screen, they get Rudy, they get Julius Randle or Naz Reid. I think the key is for the Thunder, they've just been focusing on getting Jaden McDaniels off Shea. Once that happens, it opens up the floor. They get that switch. Shea's either taking advantage of his scoring, getting to the free throw line or finding somebody that's open.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, though, like, I thought, you know, defensively, well, collectively, they were going to be a great defensive team. But it seems like you said, once they take Jaden off of Shai, either through pick and roll or whatnot, man, they're kind of stuck defensively. And, you know, there was an early in the series and Jaden was getting in foul trouble when they took him off the court. It just seemed like they were a different team. I think, like, the problem is nobody – I think they kind of assumed that Chet was going to be okay and Jalen was going to have, you know, up and down production. But Jalen's been fairly consistent. And I think the problem is for AE, if you're asking him to do more on the defensive side, we see that it's affecting his production on the offensive side because he's not putting up as much shots. And I think this past game, he only had 16. And I wonder with, you know, how we were talking about Julius Randle in the beginning, like how he's been looking like a new Julius Randle. I just feel like he has to be the missing piece. Like, we can't ask AE to go for 40 every night. Like, somebody's going to have to step up on the offensive end, and I don't think they're getting that production out of a Naz Reid, out of a Julius Randle like they were in previous series. And I think a lot of that is because the Thunder are putting so much pressure on them on the defensive end.
Yeah, they aren't getting any production from anybody.
Yeah.
On the offensive end. I think Julius Randle had a good first half that first game, but other than that, he's been pretty quiet. But, I mean, when you look at their roster, I mean, nobody's really a threat to score outside of Ant. I mean, maybe Julius Randle, specifically in the starting lineup. I mean, Jaden McDaniels had a few good games in previous series, but it's like he's not a consistent, you know, 20-point-per-game type player. Like, he can maybe get you, you know, 10 to 15 consistently. But, I mean, I'm living with him shooting them corner threes. Go ahead. If you score 25 and beat us, cool.
Yeah.
But it's no real Conley, washed. Gobert, not an offensive threat. Like, you're throwing lobs at him. So, really, the only two you got to worry about is Julius Randle and Ant-Man. But you have defenders, Jalen Williams, Lou Dort. You got the size, Chet. And Hartenstein, so Randall's unable to be that physical. You control in the paint. Y'all sit out there and shoot threes. Keep missing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other problem is kind of like what we were saying with the Pacers. Besides AE, who can I get in the ball to and say, go get a bucket? Like, hey, I need a bucket. A lot of their offense was generated by Ant's pressure on other teams, like offensively. And you getting kick out three-pointers and, you know, lobs to Rudy. So, you know, when you don't make the defense shift and have to think, if you playing them straight up, I mean, I'm taking the Thunder all day. Because for AE, it's like, what else can I do? You know?
Hey, Naz Reid, we need you to be a grown man. I know Caruso's a great defender. He shouldn't be guarding you, bro. Bully him. Please. Please bully him.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no way he should be locking you up like that, bro. You got to dominate.
Yeah. And I thought, like, J.R. put more pressure on Chet. Like, I thought, you know, his strength alone was going to at least get him 20. But it seems like Chet's not really worried about that matchup. So, I don't know, man.
And then you could put Hartenstein on J.R. too.
Yeah.
So, there. Hey, shout out to the bigs, man. Specifically for OKC, shout out to the bigs. they showing up.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, even with Caruso, like, Caruso knows how to defend these players because he's been in the league a while. The same way with Lou Dort, and I think that they're kind of scary because they have a bunch of young pieces, but they also have some key veterans that are able to help them in this playoff stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess for the Timberwolves, you're Chris Finch. How do you get back into the series and win?
They're not getting back into the series and they're not winning the series. Their season is over.
So there's no way at all they can get back?
No. They got it. Bruh, they can't get stops.
Yeah.
When I tell you I saw this man, Shai, get a screen They switched it. As soon as Jaden McDaniels was off, it was barbecue chicken. Bro, they tried to switch to the zone. Kick to an open shooter. Kick to an open shooter. Check. Bro, they can't get... They have no answers defensively for OKC.
So they win in Oklahoma City. It's still over. Game five, right? Yeah.
They might get one. They will have to get the next one for the series to keep going. They have to. And that is one thing that I will say about the Timberwolves. Like, every time they've needed to win, they have. So maybe they do get this next game, but after that, it's over.
But my thing is, like, to your point, you got to win three straight. Winning three straight, there has to be like a fundamental shift. Like, something has to change in your offense or defense in order to, like, to harp on on the other team's weakness. And I don't think they have that. I don't think there's many weak areas in the Thunder's roster. Like, because the people we thought were going to be their weakness, Chet and Jaylen, are consistent. So it's like, all right, now what do we do?
But see, like, even like to your point, they have to win three in a row. Even if they do have a bad game, if Chet and Jaylen Williams have a bad game, they got three games. They not having three straight bad games. I promise you that. And if they do, somebody else is going to step up. I guarantee. I mean, they got some role players. Yeah. They have nobody to guard him, bro. This man's been cooking.
Like, we've seen games where both of them have been bad and they've still won because of Shea. But
Yeah. So, yeah, this series over, bro. Timberwolves not coming back. Get ready for next year.
Okay. So now that series over, because I agree with you, what do you do if you're the Timberwolves? We kind of had this conversation the last episode, but it's like, now it gets more real.
I think this series, in a way, because if you're the Thunder, they did show you a double big lineup, but I think you probably have to move off of Rudy. More than likely, you have to move off of Rudy. Granted, do you want to do that with everything you gave up to get him? Probably not. But also, you got to look at it too. What's going to happen with the three players off the bench that we've been talking about the past few episodes? Naz Reid, DiVincenzo, Nikhil. What's going to happen with them? Mike Conley, hang it up. Retire. Go home, bro. Go home. Just go home. Everybody else that plays, A.E., Jaden, Julius Randle, y'all can stay. Everybody else, hey, if you want them, come get them. I wouldn't, bro. Like, they just got him, bro. I wouldn't move off that piece. Not when I just got him. I just traded Cat, and I'm about to give up Julius Randle? Nah.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Can't do that.
I don't necessarily. I don't think I would give him up, but he's not off the table. Like, I would put everybody on the table except for him.
We just got him. We got to see how it looked more than half a season.
I mean, but the thing, bro, is like you said before, the Timberwolves clock is ticking in terms of Ant being there. If we know that he's not going to be there for long, you have to make drastic moves in order to win in the West. So Brandon at bay don't sound good if you know your star is not only going to be there in the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, but if your star has already vouched for wanting this player being there, because I'm sure they asked this man, and yo, if we move Cat, is Julius Randle fine? I'm sure they asked him that. You played with the man. I haven't heard him say anything bad about Julius Randle. Julius, like we talked about before this series, Julius Randle had been hooping.
Yes. But to counter that, two things. Number one, buy low, sell high. I think the fact that we saw this Julius this year, a lot of other teams saw this Julius, and people might be willing to make a desperate move. And then on the second side, it's like, yeah, AE said that about Julius and probably was fun playing with him now, but it's like, hey, AE, do you like playing with Julius or do you want to win an NBA Finals? And if we have a package like that includes Julius for a star, a superstar, I'm at least inquiring about it. Julius is on the table for me.
Oh, okay, but who are you getting in return? Who are you getting in return?
I mean, I don't have a definite.
Okay, let's not say who. Let's say what position. Because AE could be a point guard or a shooting guard. Like, he's going to have the ball in his hands. So who are you pairing with him in a situation where Randle gets moved? What type of player are you pairing with him?
I mean, honestly, it would have to be because in that same scenario, you'll be losing Rudy too, right? Because Rudy's on the table. I would say you need a stretch forward that can dominate down low as well.
Is Naz Reid not that player?
Yeah, I mean, he can stretch the floor, but I think shockingly, like you would need like Cat type of player who can play down low, but also can stretch the floor. We don't know what Nas looks like.
I think he can be that player. I think Nas' ability to shoot the three is tough. Given more minutes, can he be that second star?
We would like to think so. My concern, like you were saying, Nas needs to be a man. It's like these are the points where it has to show up. So it's like we don't know. There are players that we could name that has looked good in certain roles, and then when you put them into that starter role, it hasn't been the same. So I'm just saying, it's like if you're trying to win now, there can't be a lot of ifs on your roster. So I don't know what that player would be. But
so what you just said, is Naz Reid gone after this year?
Naz Reid, I would not want him gone, but he is on the table. I think the only way I would move Naz Reid if he's in a package to go get a superstar. If it's just a one-for-one, I'm keeping Naz Reid because you can probably get a more favorable contract with him being on your roster and you drafting him. But no, I wouldn't move him. But if we call about Giannis and they say we want Naz Reid, goodbye Naz Reid.
So you would give up, hypothetically. Naz Reid, Julius Randle, and Gobert for Giannis.
Goodbye, guys. Like, I'm going to individual roster. I mean, lockers and saying goodbye. Yes, I would do that in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Because now I get off the Reid contract, huh?
So basically you would just want a wing player to join AE, essentially.
Is Giannis a wing?
I mean, it's like a four, I mean, bro.
I think he can dominate both sides. Like I said, Giannis is not stretching the floor. Nobody worried about him shooting. Exactly. But I'm saying, in terms of dominating down low, there's somebody you got to account for down low, and then it frees up AE.
And we thought the same thing with Giannis and Dame.
But they're not. I think AE can function more without the ball. I think the greatness of Dame, we saw him being on the ball playing the one. Like you said, AE can play multiple positions in the backcourt. So
we'll see. I don't know how effective he's going to be without the ball in his hands. Like, I know he can cut and stuff, but we gonna see. We gonna see.
This Chris Finch back?
I think so. Like I told you last episode, bro, him and AE like this, bro. Them boys locked in. Them boys ride for each other. He going to be there as long as AE there. I promise you that.
So in terms of, I'm not necessarily saying like legacy, but how much of this loss is on AE? Like, we talking about him being a face of the league. He had all the momentum. And then, you know, obviously they lost to a great team with the Thunder.
Are you talking about like in this series, or are you just talking about like last game?
Oh, in the series.
In the series?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a part of his chapter. I mean, just like last year, how he made the run and lost. I think this is just another part of it. I mean, like we talked about, the Thunder was supposed to, they've ran away with it all season. Like, let's not act like the Thunder is some team he should have beat. I mean, would we have liked to see a more competitive series? Yes. Did we expect a more competitive series? Yes. But the Thunder players showed up. The players that we thought possibly wouldn't show up, they've shown up. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just another stepping stone in his story. But like I said before, I don't know how long AE is going to be there in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I think this year kind of this series is showing that.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think when you mentioned it, you know, a couple episodes ago, I was like, no, because I was under the assumption that, you know, they were going to beat the Thunder, get to the finals and maybe win. And I was like, if he wins, he's staying. Like, you know, he'll be a legend in Minnesota. But now it's like, no, I can see him leaving easily now. And the thing is, with the whole legend killer mantra that's been on him, like, that's cool, but it's one thing to beat these legends and then going to win. Like, IT, you know, beat Jordan, he beat Larry, but he also went on to win. And for AE, you know, when everybody was talking about him beating Steph, even though Steph was injured, him beating Bron, I was like, okay, let's pump the noise down, because can they go and win it? Because I feel like his legacy is going to be attached to the rings that he has. And for him and being in Minnesota, your window is really small, because no free agents want to come to Minnesota. And, you know, and with this second apron, you're not building many super teams anymore. So it was just like, dang, this was your chance to go win it. And it seems like that has been fumbled as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the offseason, because do you continue to think, you know, long-term and continue to build long-term around Anthony Edwards? Or do you take the route of short-term? You know, let's go get another star to pair with him. That's going to be a rental to try to win a championship.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the thing is, you know, for a team like Minnesota that has to pay him, because, you know, we're not talking about like $50 million contracts. We're going to be talking about like 60, 70. And it's like, you know, like you said, when you look long term, it's like, man, we're going to have to pay him, what, $75 million. We don't know how many people we're going to be able to keep. And I think these are the moments you're like, okay, does it sound crazy to make the trade? If you know internally, because, you know, if we're thinking that on the podcast, you know, internally, people are like, man, hey, he's not staying around for long. Do we go ahead and like trade him, sell high, and say, hey, you know, we're going to make a Luka Doncic type deal, or are we just going to ride it out and lose him for nothing?
And that's an excellent point right there. That Luka trade opened the doors for anything to happen. So you would hope that they are able to get, you know, a star type player in return, or, you know, a crazy amount of draft picks in return. But once again, like, what is the rest of the roster going to look like?
Yeah.
Even if you do trade them, what is the rest of the roster going to look like? Because it could very quickly be dark days in Minnesota.
Bro, it could be dark days even if he comes back. Because you think about next year, they're going to have Coop, Kyrie, AD. That's going to be a formidable team. I mean, even Klay coming back. I mean, the West is – I mean, West going to be tight. The Rockets, the Lakers, they're going to have another year back in the fold with Luka and LeBron, and they're probably going to make a move for a big this season. I mean, this offseason. And it's like the playoff spots start to add up. And we can't forget that last year, this past regular season, the Timberwolves didn't start out great. So you start out choppy again, you might not be in the top contention when it comes to playoffs. You might be in the play-in.
And knowing AE, face of the league, you might come out and be like, yo, I don't even want to be here no more. In the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Or at the beginning of the season, if they decide to, you know, start slow.
So, you know, I had a crazy thought, but if you came to the Timberwolves, if you're San Antonio with the number two pick pieces, would you entertain it at all? If you're the Timberwolves,
you want me to give you Anthony Edwards.
If I give you, let's say, Castle, the number two pick, that's another piece, Keldon Johnson, whatever you want, and not Fox or Wimby, and just say, hey, all this for eight, give you a boatload.
Are you giving up the second and the 14th pick?
Yeah, that's included. The package you would have given up for Giannis, you called Minnesota.
I don't at this moment. I don't think they're looking to move Anthony Edwards. I don't think they're looking that far ahead to be like, yeah, we'll take that. I don't know. I just don't think they're looking that far ahead to be like,
yeah,
we'll make that move to right now. Not right now. Like, if it was like the middle of the season and they're playing bad, maybe. But I don't think right now is the time to, they're going to be looking to move Anthony Edwards. I think it'll be either the middle of the season or after next season.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. It's just a intruding thought. It's like, let me just ask.
Yeah, because like you got to think, bro. Like, this man is what? How old is AE? 25 maybe? Might be younger than that. I might be giving him a few years. I don't even know if he's 25.
He's 23.
23. Like, bro, he's young.
Yeah.
He's young.
Goodness gracious. That's crazy. Yeah.
Bro, he's 23.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Not just two first rounds this year. Bro, I'm gonna need about five or six first rounders, bro. It's gonna be something crazy, bro. Yeah. I need something crazy for AE. And like you said, face of the league, only gonna get better. I need a lot, bro. It's gonna take a lot for me as an organization to move him. Now, if he wants to get moved, cool. Like, I'll respect it. I'll move you, but if you coming to me asking for AE, bro, I need everything.
But see, that's the thing though. It's like, and I agree with you, right? But even with their two biggest stars, even though Anthony Edwards is way better than their two other stars, I'm speaking about Kevin Garnett and K Love, it was always when they were at their height that they went and were traded for a boatload of picks and star and you know pieces. Yeah. So it's like, you know that AE is not going to be there long. So why wait until he says, I want to be out? Why not at his peak, make the Herschel Walker, make the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar trade and say, hey, you know what? We just can't get over the hump. And in terms of the second apron, we kind of started moving off of Cat, and we'll just build around Dillingham, the second pick, 14th pick, and everybody else. I'm not saying it's around Dillingham specifically.
No. Has Brett been playing?
Nah. Not at all.
Bro, why not? I mean, he can't. He probably can't help defensively, so I get that. But he can score.
Yeah, and even Terrence Shannon. Terrence Shannon gave us some decent minutes. Like, I don't know what their plan is. Maybe it's kind of the same thing the Rockets are doing with Reed Shepard, where you said, like, defensively, I don't know if we can give it the same thing as Van Fleet. But for the Timberwolves, I mean, he could at least be helpful. Because one thing I know about Dylan Herring, he's going to chuck that ball up.
Boy. That's one thing about it. He's putting it up. And you don't got to worry about that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah,
they're in an interesting spot, bro. This offseason is going to be, if not this offseason, next offseason definitely going to be crazy for them. They're going to be an interesting team to watch. Because, like you said, you don't know the future of Ant-Man. We know if they keep losing, he's not going to be there. So, like you said, at what point do you decide to move up off of them? So,
because what's really going to suck is if they get beat 4-1 to Oklahoma City and Cat wins and Cat's dominating and they win the finals. Because that's like, all right, like, yeah, we had to move off of Cat, but dang, we could have kept this around. Could we have that same production with Cat with this team?
I'm not going to lie. It's been a good trade for both teams, bro.
For sure.
I don't think they would have really like any regrets for real. Like, yes, Cat's been hooping, but it's like Julius Randle's been hooping. And also like the play style. Once again, like Brunson play style, AE play style. You change the situations. I mean, we see what happens. Like,
yeah, absolutely. We've
seen what happened.
I'm saying from 10,000 feet as an organization, everybody who has been good or superstar on your team has always left and won a championship. KG, Kevin Love. And I know Cat's not in that class, but it's like,
thank you. Okay. All right. I'm glad you said that.
You got Cat gone. And then what we're just talking about with AE gone. If AE leaves and win a championship, man, Minnesota is the worst franchise ever. Like,
oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth the conversation. Like you said, I think it's gonna be more so 2 years maybe from now. Because the thing is, like, when you get close and you taste it, you think you can just run it back. But I think they're looking at the playoffs this year, expecting it to be like this, and it's just not. Everybody's going to be making interesting moves this offseason. Even Denver. Like, I could see Denver making a move, and they're going to be back. They're at least going to be in the conversation. And I think the Spurs are going to be there. Right? There's only 8 slots. What does Memphis and Ja do? Like,
I just feel like running it back from the Timberwolves perspective is just, I don't know. Like I said, you got to keep that 3 intact. You got to keep AE, you got to keep Jaden, you got to keep Randall. After that, everybody else is up for grabs. So what your roster looks like because of that, I don't know. But you got to try to keep them 3 at least.
Yeah. Who's a better matchup for the Thunder in the finals, the Pacers or the Knicks?
Better as in what? That, like, I want to see it, or better as in the Thunder to win?
That you want to see, and then we can talk about the Thunder to win. Because we've already assumed Thunder's going to the finals, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think style-wise, I think a better matchup would probably be the Pacers, in all honesty. Because of the double big lineup, like we just talked about, the Knicks don't have the depth down low.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, Mitchell can start, but he's probably not going to start. Tibbs is not changing the rotation that drastically to counter their double big lineup, right? So it's probably going to be OG guarding, you know, Chet or Hartenstein, one of the two, and the way that them two are playing this series and the way Cat plays on defense, it might look scary down low for the Knicks if the Knicks were to match up against them. Not going to lie to you. Who guards Shea? We've seen them struggle against Tyrese. We've seen them struggle against Cade. And if they get the switch, Cat's fouling. Mitchell's fouling. You don't want Brunson in foul trouble. I think the Pacers match up a little bit better than the Knicks do. But, you know, as a Knicks fan, I would love to see the Knicks in the finals. I would love that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess selfishly, I would want to see the Pacers because I think, like you said, it's a better play style. I think the Pacers, because of their, like, overall style of play, it puts a lot of pressure on the Thunder's defense. And because, you know, the play so fast, it's going to force your Jalen Williams and Chet to score. And I don't know if they can do that, you know, consistently, you know, over the course of four games in the finals. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Thunder look like in the finals because both teams have no experience in the finals. I think the Knicks, though, obviously you have the Madison Square Garden component. I would like to see what the MVP does in that kind of environment. But also, too, with Cat, I think Cat's interesting because, you know, I think if you go the double big lineup, obviously, you know, Hartenstein's going to be on Mitch. And that Cat-Chet matchup's going to be interesting because it's like, I think Cat, because of his size, he can dominate Chet down low. But then on the other side, like you said, Cat fouls. If, you know, he forced him to play perimeter defense, that's going to be interesting because I feel like Chet could easily get him in foul trouble. But the one thing about the Knicks I will say is, like, y'all have a plethora of defenders. Like, you have OG, you have Mikal, and I think that, you know, y'all could keep up. So I think the Thunder would rather see the Pacers, but I think in terms of the style of play, I would want to see that Pacers-Thunders series.
Yeah, I think if you're the Thunder, like you said, you probably would want to see the Pacers. Only from the aspect of, like, they don't have that experience, like you said. They don't necessarily have, you know, that superstar-type player outside of Haliburton. So it's like, okay, you got all these role players versus the Knicks. Cat can go off. OG can go off. Mikal can go off. Brunson, we know, can go off. You got more to worry about on the defensive end if you're the Thunder, if you're playing the Knicks. Yeah. And I will say, too, for the Knicks, if they don't go, you know, double big lineup, that's going to be interesting, too, because Chet and Hartenstein is going to have to be on the perimeter, guarding OG.
That's true.
Or Mikal or Josh Hart.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, I'm not mad at that matchup if I'm the Knicks from an offensive perspective.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, it's going to be interesting either way. I think basketball, personally, I think Adam Silver wants the Thunder Knicks. A lot of different dynamics, and I think Madison Square Garden still has weight and value, and seeing that in the finals at least drives a lot of the New York viewers, which is, you know, a good amount of viewers. Yeah, but it's going to be interesting, man. I wonder, like, what the response is after this finals, because even, like we talked about before, with all four teams, they're not notable teams and, like, teams that everybody picked to be, you know, finals, win the NBA finals. But, like, if the Thunder are winning the NBA championship, I was telling one of my coworkers, like, and if the Pacers hold on, what does an Oklahoma-Indiana series look like, just in terms of the region of the country? And I feel like basketball would benefit a little bit more from the Knicks being in it.
Yeah, definitely. Two small market franchises in the finals.
Yeah.
Great basketball state in Indiana.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, even how we were talking about Texas in the last game, like, I was like, man, I'm excited to watch this game. But I was like, if this was Luka and Joker, I would be more willing to stay up and watch the whole game and, like, be into it. But, like, even with Ant and SGA, this series has felt boring in a sense. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah. Cause, like you said, Ant's not being aggressive. He's making the right basketball plays, you know, in his mind. your team needs you to shoot the ball 30 times because nobody else is helping you, guy. Come on, man. Take over.
Yeah.
If not you, who? Somebody got to do it.
Literally, man.
I'll take my chances with you shooting 30 times than passing it to Jaden McDaniels and hoping he do something.
Right. That's what the Thunder want. Like, they're like, yeah, we can handle that. We would have you. But yeah, bro. You got anything else on your mind in terms of this playoffs?
Nah, man. Like I said, it's gonna be an interesting offseason for a lot of teams, and we'll get into it when the time comes. But yeah, man, I think the Timberwolves are cooked, and the Knicks need to win tonight.
Yeah. So if you're tuning in, man, get ready for tonight. We got game three coming up. Game four, actually, with the Knicks and Pacers at 8 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow we have the Thunderwolves and Timberwolves. They're playing in OKC. It's gonna be a tight series. Like Hundo said, I think the Timberwolves are cooked as well. But if they win in Oklahoma City, the series at least still alive. So we got, as promised, we got a lot of content prepared for you, getting ready to drop, and will drop as the NBA continues. Hundo and John have been doing some amazing work at WNBA content, so stay tuned for that. Like we always say, man, if you would love to just share our content with one other person, get our content out there, teach people about the Winning Shot, and tell people that we're not just a basketball podcast, but we do football, we do all kinds of sports. And if you haven't already, go to our Substack and go ahead and subscribe to me and Hundo's articles. We got some amazing content still planned for you guys. But like always, we're trying to do this in order to not just spread information about sports, but also to just spread ministry. So that more people can learn that Jesus is not just in the Bible, but he's also in sports and in our community as a whole. So until next time, let us know what you think in the comments. Tell us if we bogus, and we'll tell you if you bogus. Tune in, share anything about the playoff content, share it in the comments, like, share, and subscribe on all social media platforms. And we will see you next week with more content for the NBA. Peace.
Peace.